Well, we're having a wonderful time around here. A glorious time. If you wasn't here last night, then you may not, well, there's probably no way for you to know that we preached about asking the right person or asking the wrong person. And the Bible verse was simply ask. And that's all we've been doing. And I know these young folks have got a time of fellowship planned after service. Some goodies over in the fellowship hall. And contrary to some people's opinion, the older I get, I do get a little smarter. Some. Around the edges. But just appreciate you being here so very much. And this is to the Dryden Road folks. I know we got a lot of visitors. But to the Dryden Road folks, on behalf of me and my wife, thank you for a wonderful place that you put us. Had a great time, wonderful, beautiful. And at Microwave, I mean, we worked that thing over. And folks has brought her afghans and all kinds of little pretties, potpourri and all that kind of stuff. But I was not left out. I had two cabbage rolls. And while my wife was sitting there, she said, "Let me finish my salad first." "All right, dear. All right, dear." And I ate both them cabbage rolls while she was eating that one salad. But it's been a wonderful time, and we thank you for offerings. Brother and Sister Sutherland, we'd run around some with them of a day and just had a good time going one place to the next. And I was looking at clothes for him, and he'd pull out something and say, "Boy, this is you. This is you." I think he was kidding a few times. But someplace in this tabernacle, there is roaming around a picture. I don't know where I got that blue suit. I think it was blue. I don't know where, how, when, in the scope of God's eternal things, that I was ever that skinny and then my hair was that brown. But I'm in a picture with a necktie that almost looks as wide as I was. And so, for a few things in life, I'm thankful. One of those is cabbage rolls. Hallelujah. This has been a great time. Got all these young folks tonight here in this place. All you moms and dads, seeing folks from churches long past and revivals long past. And my wife, praying for her a little bit ago, I was just reminding her and myself while we were praying for her that several years ago, Brother Collins, when she was battling with a certain kind of weakness, she got her healing one night at the highway. And so tonight I was just telling God, "Lord, in another church in Ohio, drop down and heal my sweetheart." You want to testify to me and just say something to the folks, huh? It'd be all right. I'm not going to preach long. They're going to love me. They may want to take another offering.
Thank you. Thank you for everything. We've really enjoyed this week, this short week. We've got to be here at Dryden Road with Brother and Sister Sutherland, and we've just had a wonderful time in the Lord. Isn't it great just having a wonderful time going home?
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
This world is not our home.
What?
We're just passing through. Hallelujah. And on that trip, what a time we can have in the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And I am so glad I have found that to be true, and it's just been a great week here, and I'm going to let him have the mic.
Praise the Lord. That worked out well. I want to read just a quick verse, one verse. It's in the Bible, King James Version, Old Testament, 2 Samuel. And I might, here in a minute, I don't know that I will, but some of you young ladies there maybe, or some of you young men, I don't know. I mean, where are you? I tried to get a racetrack going last night around here with NASCAR, and I got three guys up here to help me that didn't come with a full tank, I don't think. I was having a little trouble there. And, of course, my ball team over here, they were having a tough time. But before it was all said and done, we had a great altar service. And so you can't hardly beat that. And I don't have that pressure tonight because we've already had one. I'm telling you, this is just one of them aftermarket things right here where God can drop down into this service. Amen. And all you young folks that were sitting back there looking this direction, some wondering, some wishing, some dreaming, some wanting, you could be in the next round. Will that be something? This ain't going to take long. I'm in 2 Samuel. And again, I'm glad Brother Collins is here. Me and my wife, we probably should have started earlier this morning, getting around to going and seeing him. If I'd have known just how the roads is different and the map is different, and I didn't bring that GPS thing. You got one of them? A GPS thing, one of them boxes with that woman in there? You know why they put a woman in there, don't you? If it's a man, I'd have thrown him out the wind. Oh, he would have been so gone so long ago. But anyway, we didn't bring her this time. She offends me about as much as I offend her. But I have one thing ahead of that dear little sweet woman in that box. I'd really like to see who that real voice. I guarantee the woman who made that recording. I guarantee it. Her favorite holiday is Halloween. I guarantee it. And when I'm lost already, and I'm on the wrong road already, and I've already got one GPS sitting beside me telling me I'm on the wrong road, when I hear this woman tell me, recalculating. But I have one thing up on her that she doesn't have on me. She's in that little box and she can't reach out. I'm on the outside and I can pull her plug. Oh, it's wonderful. It's a great feeling. It really is. It's a great feeling. It's a great feeling. If they ever come out with another one in boxes with a different voice in there, so I'd take anything but that woman. But anyway, I don't have a bad spirit toward her. Now, you young folks, don't go back. Now, I don't have a bad spirit toward that woman just because I don't like her. And I'm glad that she's not a member of my church. You know, I thought I'd heard that voice before. But listen, I'll read something to you here. 2 Samuel, did I say 23? Good, because it's 22. I want you to turn there to 2 Samuel 22. And for all you young folks in here tonight at this great youth rally that knows your way around the Bible real good, that's Genesis, Exodus, 2 Samuel. Sort of, kind of, in that order. The other day, a preacher friend of mine, he kind of pulled me off to the side when we were visiting, and this is what he said. He said, the way I got it figured, he said, I got 9 more good years left before I start slowing down and have to give in to age and arthritis and all those other things that I gave in to 3 years ago. And he said, in that 9 years, I really want to do something for God. Well, that's a noble thing. Sister Rosa Hatfield, down in our part of the country, she turned 100 years old, Sister Rosie. She goes down to the Thayer Church down there, a church around Brother Collins' old stomping grounds. And Sister Rosa Hatfield turned 100 years old, and they interviewed her for a slot in the paper. We have a small paper in our area. We put in 100-year-old people and deer heads, deer kills. So you either have to be... Anyway, Sister Rosa Hatfield in that article, she said, 100 years old, 100 years old don't bother me. I just want to do something for God.
All right.
And I'm not going to be up here all night. I really am not. I got to go home tomorrow. But I just wondered something. I just wondered if the young folks in this, and all your moms and dads, it's okay to listen in, but just kind of me and the youngins now. I'm on my own wavelength here. I just kind of wonder, you really know what you guys' purpose is? Your real purpose. Your real purpose. What you really... Now, I don't want to just knock you out with a feather here, but I'm going to come down here. Maybe I ought to give you a couple of seconds. I may come by you and ask you something like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I'm not trying to be rude, because some of you are already taller than I am and skinnier than I am. And I don't like you, but I'll still ask you in here in a minute. But what do you want to be? Or have you, your goal? Or, and it can be the truth. I mean, I want you to lie sitting there in the middle of a youth rally. Just tell me. If there's some girl over here that just absolutely is the apple of your eye, maybe I better not ask you. I mean, I will not stop with anybody that has Valentine's on their eyelid. But I just ask you. So you think a minute? You got a minute? We'll give you an extra one. We'll come around here this way. I'm going to. Well, you're going to ask this guy, well, big guy on the front row, you should really start with smaller guys, because the bigger guys can whoop the snot out of you. What? I can tell. Right here, he hates math. He hates school, and he hates teachers. And he has that look on his face that I'm not his favorite preacher at this very moment. You ever notice how that? So, I'll ask this guy right here. I'm telling you.
Purpose. What do you think?
The Lord's will.
Huh? That's good. You know, I would have probably said, I want to be a police officer. So I can... Because some days you just get up and feel like you should shoot somebody. That's why I took up deer hunting. I don't like deer that much. I mean, deer meat that much. But it's just good to name the thing just before you squeeze the trigger. Come here, Harry. Hi, Harry. What do you think? What? Maybe. When you grow up, a
car, get a big car. Gospel singer.
Singer? Really?
Yeah.
Huh? I just love honest people. Don't you? Let me walk by somebody else that looks honest and ask this guy.
Go to college.
College? You got any more of that oil? We should pray for this young man. See, we're after church. I'll tell you how to get out of it. Listen. We got a singer. We got somebody looking for a girl. What about right here? What do you got? Like shirt?
Tie, match.
God's plan.
God's plan. Now listen, there is a purpose for every life inside. You may be ruining yours, and you may be wasting yours, and you may take yours to hell, but that's not what you're here for. God didn't put you on this planet to take your entire life and ruin it. That's not what you're here for. You're not here to find out how many divorce courts you can go through. He didn't put you here to find out how many prescription medications you can go through. He didn't put you here to see how many psychiatric places you could go through. I mean, he didn't put you here to see how much immorality or how many wrong friends. That's not what he put you here for. I know we can't hardly believe that, because every man that gets up every morning says, my ways are right in mine own eyes. That's what the Bible says about your thinking. But with God's thinking, he puts you here for a purpose. Yeah, and I don't know that I've lived up to my whole purpose. I've done a few things on purpose, but I don't know that I have lived up to my true purpose. But I know this one thing. I'm 57 years old. I know I don't look it. I'm 57 years old, and this will absolutely blow your mind. I'm still learning. I really I'm still rejoicing. And I'm still finding out things. And I'm still enjoying life. I got young folks in my church. And I've been out of church for a few weeks because I was having some bronchitis. And when I got back to church and I sat down, a bunch of my little girls there in the church, they just flogged around me and it just made me, I'm enjoying what I'm doing. And I don't wake up with a hangover. And I don't wake up with a heartache. And I don't wake up with a worry. I don't have to wonder how I acted the night before. I don't have to worry about what I said the night before. I got one of those implants in your mouth where they go up in your gum and they screw this. They take this tooth and they screw it in that gum. Okay. And I knew that he should knock me out to do that. I knew that he should. And he did. He gave me 3 tablets and said, watch the little leaves fall off the trees. So 3 tablets later, he walked back in the room and I said, 427. He said, you can't believe you're still awake. I'm little, but I'm tough as all get out. So he gave me 3 more. 45 minutes later, he came and gave me 3 more. Now, when you are that far gone, you gotta hope that no matter what you're saying, that it's okay. And they were laughing when they brought me out of that place and handed me over to my wife, who had to get church folks to help me get out of the car because I wouldn't. I was pretty set in my ways. But what they said was, all I was saying back there in the back was, I'd like to have some of these pills for our next communion at church. But it could have been worse. It could have been worse. Did everybody have a heart attack? I'm telling you, sometimes when you are really living your purpose in life, and your real true purpose in life, you don't have to be ashamed of yesterday. You don't have to be ashamed of your thoughts. You don't have to be ashamed of your imagination. You don't have to allow these pictures that are taken in the subconscious to hang on the back of our minds and stare at us for the rest of our life. Young people, young men, young adults, young ladies, young folks, we don't have to let the internet become the sole provider of our soul. We can control. I'm telling you, there is a life in God, a purpose in God that you can control some of these things in life. If you really recognize your purpose, you can control those things. And I know we're fixing to go to the fellowship hall, and we're fixing to eat, and we're fixing to have a wonderful time. But I mean, I'm not just looking at a generation now that's, I got into this thing years ago, 35, 36 years ago, preaching the gospel and preaching to young folks and preaching at youth camps and having a big time and a wonderful time and a glorious time and all this time, my text, all this time in all of these ways, I really didn't understand that God was changing and rearranging the purpose in my life. I didn't know that thou hast, verse 37, enlarged my steps under me so that my feet did not slip. I didn't know that God had such a purpose for my life that slipping was not an option. I didn't know that. I didn't know. I'd watched other preachers. I'd watched other young preachers. They get in. They jump in. They get behind a pulpit. They get married. They went worldly. I'd go to churches. We'd set up our trailer. We'd preach for them. They'd shout in the house of God. And the husband and wife and children would fuss around the dinner table that night to the point where you knew that there wasn't an ounce of unity in that entire house. And yet, 35, 34, 35 years down the road, we haven't slipped. There is a place in God and a purpose in God. You do not have to live like you're on roller skates. You know, live like you're on ice skates. You don't have to live like you're on a skateboard. There is a sturdy, firm foundation where He will enlarge your life and keep you from slipping. But I'm watching a generation. I'm watching them. And I'm watching that generation slip as I watch their parents step into the bleachers, into the arenas, and watch as they turn their children and their families into young gladiators and throw their entire future away because they wrap it up in something that doesn't last past the high school years or the college years. And at the end of the college year, and you step out and you face the real world, a basketball and a football and a track medal. You can build in things, but the soup is still very, very weak. You've got to have something other than that. You've got to have something more than that. And then I look at young folks that was raised in little holiness churches scattered across the countryside. They were drawn attention to because of the way she dressed and looked. And they were drawn attention to because on a Friday night, when a lot of folks would have been at the movie house, they decided to come to God's house, sat up on the front row, and try to do something for God. Don't sit there and look at me. I'm going to tell you something. We got a world. We're losing that. We are losing that. In our churches, we're losing that dedication in them children. And some of the problem is, I haven't been able to keep the parents from slipping. But there's a place in God that you can get. And even though my dad and my mom fussed most of my young life, and even though my dad nights would go into the kitchen, take coffee cups out of the cabinet, and bust them in the sink, I've heard him in the kitchen. I've heard him throw things. I heard mom go in there and try to collapse. I mean, I knew at a young age what a bleeding ulcer was like. And I didn't come out of a home of holiness. I didn't come out of a home of righteousness. I guess that's why I drifted so far with the piano. And I drifted so far with a saxophone. But I'm telling you, when that day came that I tossed the anchor and ceased to drift, I come up from that altar. And since that time, by God's help, He has enlarged my steps. And He has kept me from slipping. And if you can purpose something in your heart like that, you can do the very same thing. My mom now is 85 years old, and she is slipping. Mentally, my mom, she battles it. I'll talk to her. She can't just even relate to me some of the normal, easy things in life. She just can't hardly relate to those. And she'll always end the conversation by saying, "Ain't this awful? Ain't this awful? I just get so mad at myself when I just can't." I mean, she gets exasperated by the fact that her mental capabilities are not as swift as they once was. But I want to remind her and all the rest of the folks in here that in the book of Isaiah, we got three recordings there. There's going to be an age group that shall mount up with wings as eagles. And I'm telling you, from what I'm understanding, I believe some of them boys could stay up all night, mount up with wings as eagles. And then there's the midlife bunch in here tonight. You're not flying as high as you used to, but you're still running, and you're not growing weary. But then there's the elder bunch in here tonight that are walking. And they're not worried about flying or running. They're just thrilled that it's not fainting. There's three different age groups. But I'm telling you, with Brother L.L. Collins sitting over here tonight in that one age group, that older age group, I wouldn't say that if he could catch me, but in that older age group, right there, Brother Collins, today over at his house, looking out the window, and his van parked out there, you know what he said? He said, "Keep that one loaded for camp meeting. My Collins is hanging in there. Just keep it." Don't that sound like him? Don't that sound like him? And I'm telling you right now, all down through the age since he stepped out of Southern Missouri and has been about the master's business, nobody in this world has had to question his purpose. Oh, that's right. Then we got some old boys up here on this platform. Ken Meyer sitting over there. You know him. I'm telling you, I told him tonight I might need to use him for an illustration when I needed to knock on wood. But I have Ken Meyer sitting up here. I mean, been a Sunday school teacher here 9 years. How do you like that? Boy, you're merciful. Been a Sunday school teacher here for 9 years, still at it. Remembered helping me out of Bristow 1 year in an illustrated message. Remembered a night when we brought out the old hibachi. You remember the little grills? Do they still make those? Are they still made in China? Because mine never did last very long. When we brought them little old hibachis out down in Mobile, Alabama, and we had us a grilling out there on the old campground. You remember what we had? Hot dogs, wasn't it? Reckon it was hot dogs? I think it was. Evangelistic steak. Look at me like that. They were all beef. Kind of like McDonald's chicken McNuggets. All beef. But listen. It's still here. Still running. You got that? Still running. Purpose. And now we've got these young folks praying and rolling in the floor, praying for them and anointing them, laying hands on these young men. And I look down, and from the oldest to the smallest, right here around the front, praying in this altar, soaring with eagle's wings. Young, youthful man, I'm telling you, be able to step back 2 or 3 degrees and have a little bit of that, but I can't. But I can do this. I can tell these young ladies right here, and the young men right here, and the young ladies back there, and the young men over here, and right around the front, that God's got a purpose for your life. Just like he has for Brother Collins, just like he has for me, for Brother Sutherland, for Brother Myers, just like he's got a purpose. And a few years back, we were investigating, aggravating a young dope head that we'd picked up for some lesser charge. And when we went over to where he lived, we instigated a consented search. And all we found was empty marijuana pipes where he had taken his knife and scraped around the edge. He'd been smoking the ashes. And he was assuring me that there wasn't anything there. And by the time the guys got finished, I was pretty well assured there was nothing there. And then he handed me this. Listen. Watch me jump. He said, I wrote this one night when I was so high that I literally was planning on going down to the school gymnasium, climb up on top of it, and jump. Mount up with wings as eagles. Really? Watch me jump. See me fly. I'm a trippy kind of guy. Hear me scream. Watch me fall. 15 stories, shopping mall, falling faster, seeing things, arms that look like feathered wings. Feel the impact, watch me die, hear my soul forever cry. Had to do it, don't know why, I'm a trippy kind of guy. What a purpose. What a purpose. And I guarantee you, from the conversation that we had that night with that boy, to this time right here, right now, I guarantee you I am very much alive. And I seriously doubt that he is still breathing on planet Earth, because he had self-destruction written all over his face. What a purpose. What a purpose. Now you jump back and you read that verse. He hath enlarged my steps. He keeps me from slipping. this wasn't the goal of God for that kid's life. I don't care what the parents had done her, what had been raised around her, how much pornography was on the coffee table, or how much booze was in the refrigerator. That's not the purpose of God for any of our lives. The purpose of God for our lives is to allow God to have us. If we are going to be a singer, for God to have our singing. If we're going to go to college, for God to have my college. If we're going to just look for the Word of God and the will and the walk of God, for God to be the roadmap of my entire life. That's the purpose. Hey, listen. A guy walking down the street, they were working on this humongous building, and he walked up to one of these workers, and he said, "Hey, what you building?" And the guy said, "What, you crazy? You can't tell? I'm putting boards and nails and stuff together, and I'm working on a frame. How crazy can you be?" The guy walked a little further, working on a monstrosity thing. "Hey! Yeah! What you doing up there? Working on my retirement! Making $25 an hour! After this job, I think I'll retire!" Walked a little further. "Hey! What you building up there? Cathedral!" Same building. Same work site. Same man. Same day. Purposes. All three of them were different. All one of them's purpose was to have a framed building. And all the other guy was working for was a retirement. Only one man out of all of them saw the real purpose. That even if it ain't 3 inches off the ground, it's going to be a cathedral. It's going to be something. It's going to be, now I don't know if you can see, just have me right here, just so you can understand. I don't know if you can see a cathedral. I don't know if you can see a cathedral here or not. But I'm telling you, I can see a cathedral before I just see a frame in somebody's retirement. You hear me? I mean, I don't know. These young ladies, as long ago, when church started up here on this platform, did you all just... Where's the leader, choir leader? Where you at? Where you sitting? Lost you. Are you here? Are you there? Fellowship hall? Why ain't they over there? Are they eating already? Thank you, Lord, for this food. Bless it, God, our bodies. And when you get there, it'll be ready. Listen! I don't know. I don't know if she just walked in tonight and said, you said it right here, we're just going to sing this song. I don't know if you never heard it in your life, or if you practiced it, or if you sung it a time or two. If it had been me, I would have still been practicing it, and trying to keep up with the pace of it. I don't know. But what I think is, there might have been opportunities where you all got together and learned that song. Now, you could have been 100 other places, but you were trying to learn a song and get it ready for a youth rally night. I think that's a great purpose. I think it's a great purpose. I think that parents that can't see a youth rally is more important than some kind of school activity needs to find an important purpose for themselves. I think that a man that would rather his daughter be a cheerleader than on the platform full of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he don't know what his purpose in life is either. I think people in this room that's more interested in their boy catching a football than they are catching the glory of God and getting called to preach, I don't think you know what your purpose is. There is a purpose for our life. What if my purpose keeps me from running as fast as everybody else? I don't know. I had asthma all my life. I was never allowed to even play PE in school. I had to stay inside while everybody went outside because my lungs were so bad. And so for my first 6 years, I had to put up with the fact that all the guys in my school, which was my peer pressure, had a downcast look. And you know, playing the piano didn't help a bit. It just didn't help a bit. I mean, music is supposed to calm the savage beast, but not them dogs. Not them dogs, I'm telling you. Nothing would calm them dogs. And then one day, years ago, Brother Sutherland, I was at home, there at the house by myself. I'd come in from someplace, going someplace else. There was a knock at the door. I went to the door, opened it up, and whoa!
Can I have your autograph?
It was the...
Did you like that pen? Look at this.
There's a guy standing there at the door who said, "I'm Ricky." And I said, "I know it. You were the captain of the basketball team. You were the guy in the bus that always had the cheerleader sitting all around him, and you, I knew who he was." What I was trying to figure out was what he was doing at my door at Connect with two little boys. And he said, "I wanted to bring my sons over here and introduce them to the one man in our entire class that kept it all together, kept right priorities." And he said, "I want them to shake hands with somebody who knows what you're supposed to do in life."
Would you like my autograph before you get in the car?
Would you like my autograph? Don't sit there and look at me like that. You have a purpose. I have a purpose. And I'm going to quit. I am. Some of you young folks are sitting in here right now tonight in this very service. Please quit wasting. Quit wasting your lives. Quit wasting your life. I don't know who some of you little girls are texting, and I don't know who some of you have disguised yourself to seem like you're a 21-year-old in a 13-year-old's body on an internet website where some scoundrel is just sitting out there laying in wait to rob you of your modesty, take you away from anybody and everybody that loves you and promises you the moon. Quit wasting your purpose on that computer. Okay, now maybe it is Call of Duty, and maybe it is kickboxing, whatever it is, where you shove your glove down somebody else's throat and grab a hold of his gallbladder and tie it to his spleen and pull them both up together, hook them to his tonsils and smile and say, "I won." But you're wasting your purpose. You are wasting your purpose. You're wasting your purpose. "What are you building?" "Well, actually, I'm going to church tonight because it's a youth rally night, and old man said I have to. I'd like to be there. Maybe get me some girl tonight, but I'd like to be there. I don't care anything about it." All you are building is a little old lean-to with a bunch of two-by-fours like that other guy. "Well, what's your purpose being here tonight?" "Well, really, I enjoyed the singing and the preaching. I come to see Brother Hyde. I ain't seen him in a long time, and I heard that he hasn't been aging. I heard that he's drinking some kind of mango juice that just keeps him young and fit and trim." You should sue the mango companies. I tell you what I'm building. I'm building a retirement on preacher's pay. That is a joke. But there's some other young folks in here tonight that's working on a building. Working on a building for the Lord. Always knew you'd go to Bible school. It's a Holy Ghost building. I always knew you was going to be a preacher. I could tell when you prayed 3 hours a day and fast two of them. It's a Holy Ghost building. I always knew you was going to marry a preacher. You never would fool with them other guys in there that was always on the edge of always being on the edge. I always knew that you was working on a building. This is a youth rally, and all you old folks, I'm glad you're here, working on a building. Elvis Presley made a hit doing this, singing. You know, I'm having a hard time getting mine off the ground. It's a Holy Ghost building. It's a... Okay, I agree. Singing is not my purpose. And living like you're living is not yours. Dying lost and going to hell is not yours. And if I can't make mine, Shirley and Ellie, you can only look in a mirror and tell everybody in the church, you ain't no Elvis either. Listen, honey, I want you to think about something spiritual to play on the piano here in a minute. Something religious would probably help us. Listen. We got these folks, you know, that just don't. I was at the house, sitting back in my recliner, listening to the scanner, and I knew they were going to call me. I'm done. I'm quitting. I knew they were going to call me. For you young folks that don't know it, I'm with the police department there. Yeah. Don't let it scare you. You ought to see the shotgun I got with me. But I'm with the police department. Badge, bulletproof vest, got the whole thing. Could you see me coming at you with a taser? One of them zappers? Here, Deacon. Could you see that? I was sitting there at home, and I heard it on the scanner. I knew they were going to call me. I knew there'd been a bad wreck. I knew it was out CC Highway. I knew it was on that curve. I knew it was going to be bad. And I hadn't only versed it two minutes when a call went through my mind when my phone rang. And it was the PD, and they said, "Preacher, where you at?" And I said, "I'm at home." And they said, "We need you for crowd control out on a..." I said, "I know right where it's at. I'm on my way." So I hopped in my car to drive. I have a Mustang with red and blue lights on it. It's wicked. Red and blue lights, got a siren on there. Really, it does. It does. I just... Here comes Rev Cop. That's my license plate. Rev Cop. How you like that? I went flying down through there. I pulled up on the scene, and I saw this officer just there. There was a girl. I climbed out of the car, and I went walking up there, and the county officer said, "I'm glad you're here. This is so-and-so. You need to take care of this young lady right here." And so when I turned around to introduce myself, she broke and started running again for the highest. I mean, she, I knew what they meant with crowd control. She was beside herself. When I finally did get her, I said, listen, I didn't want to, hold it. I said, "Hold it. I can't chase you and run you down this road. And I'm not going to let you go down there to that wreck scene." And she said, "But it's my boyfriend and his friend. And they were in a car that I gave them. I'm listening to all this. And I see smoke. Was there a fire?" And I started looking at her, Brother Sutherland, and her arms were gnarled. And I was kind of taken back a little bit. Her flesh had been, I could tell that she was in the process of reconstructive surgeries. And I had no idea that this young lady had almost been burnt alive in a car. And she settled with a car company. Every year she gets a new one. And she had just given her boyfriend a new Roush Mustang that was down here on this corner, flipped upside down, on fire. They had run into a truck that had a gas can in the back that went through the back truck window, out the driver's window, into the window of the Mustang, and covered them boys. They were burnt alive in that car. And so I told her, I said, "You can't go down there." And she said, "There was a fire. Now I understand." "Yes, there was." She said, "Did they burn alive?" And I said, I'm just getting here. I said, but I said, let me tell you this. Let me call somebody. Let me call your parent. Let me call some. And she said, would you just hold my head and let me throw up here on the side? And I said, yeah. And I took her over to the side of the road, and she just hung her head, and she just throwed up, and I held her head, and all I was thinking about was, I can't figure out why that God decided that our purpose in life was to go through a ministry and not have children. I can't figure out how that God's purpose in my life was to end me up in a little town there in West Plains, Missouri, pastoring a little church, to one day be standing on the side of the road holding a girl's head while she throws up because somebody she loves has just burnt to death in a car. You know, I'm going to tell you something. You have no idea where your purpose in life is going to take you. You have no idea. You have no idea where your purpose is going to take you. And I would say in the fifth grade, when I wasn't even allowed to go outside and play, that that was the last thing on them boys' mind, that I'd ever be with the police department in West Plains, Missouri, and with the fire department in West Plains. You never know what your purpose in life is going to be. Father, now I'm just up here again tonight, and there's some backsliding. Before anybody ever had to say anything about folks being lost, I know there's lost folks. And before anybody even had to point the attention to the fact that there's even backsliders in our midst, I knew there were backsliders in our midst. There's people in here tonight. There's men, there's boys in here tonight. You are driving your parents crazy. You are so far away from your purpose. And a can of booze or a can of skull or some midnight rendezvous or some needle in your vein. You are so vain and you are so wrong about why God has put you here. You are not God's answer to the human species. You're not God's answer to what a real man is supposed to look like and walk like and talk like. That's not what your purpose is. Your purpose is to be made in the image of God. Your purpose is to go through school and be a Christian, go on through college and be a Christian, and whatever vocation in life you pick up, you are a Christian before you are a banker. You're a child of God before you work for a car dealership, before you teach a class, before you study English lit. You are a child of God. You are a child of God. And I'm just going to ask this and I'm done. Get me back home tomorrow. Preach a little something in my church. Try to have revival back in Missouri. If there's a backslider in this house right here, right now, tonight, I'm not going to tell you that I'm the last preacher you're ever going to get to hear. I ain't going to do stuff like that. I grew up like that all my life. I mean, sometimes they just scare me. And I'm not going to tell you I'm the last preacher you're ever going to hear. But I'm going to tell you that if you're slipping around and you're sliding around, then there's not enough stability in your life. Maybe at 28, 38, 48, or 58, you still don't know what you want to be when you grow up. If I was in this house right now, while my wife was playing this piano and I was lost, or I was in this house and I was addicted, or I was in this house and there's things that draw my attention away from God, if I was pulled by the flesh, I'll tell you what I do, and I promise you, I'm done. If I was lost in this building right now, I'd take a deep breath and I would say, I can't believe in the 36 or 7 years that guy's been a preacher, it would all come down to this one night in Ohio on a Friday night in this church for him to get up in a pulpit and tell me that I am wasting my purpose of existence. Who would ever thought it? Who would ever thought it? I'd have figured I'd live in Karnak, Illinois the rest of my life and teach school at the... Who ever thought it? I'm looking for somebody tonight in this house before we break and run. Head over to the fellowship hall for fellowship and fun. I'm looking for somebody in this house right now that's just been putting together boards and you've just kind of been worried about the future. And you never thought about the fact that you are to be a temple of the Holy Ghost and that you are wasting your building abilities. So your head's bowed and nobody's looking around. Nobody is. My eyes are closed. I'm not looking around. I was going to say, if you're in here and you're lost, raise your hand. And you can do that if you want to, but I'm not looking. I'm not looking. I don't just want you to admit the fact that you're slipping on the purpose. I want you to admit the fact that you need to get up. Step out into an aisle and come to this altar and change the rest of your life. Going once, you sing it, honey, you want to.
Put your life into the Master's hands.
Going twice.
Just put your life
what a waste.
Into His Master's
hands. See me trip.
Hands.
See me fly.
For He
I'm a trippy kind of guy.
For you.
See me fall.
Nobody
15 stories
you.
Shopping mall.
So put your life
my God, what a waste. What a backslider's waste.
Put your life.
What a getting liberal waste of your life. Walking away from the holiness.
Put your life.
Trying to climb in the saddle of something worldly. What a waste. What a waste.
He has a work for you.
Your music is on the edge. What a waste. Your reading material is on the edge. What a waste. And tonight there are websites on your computer that you would blush with shame if Brother Sutherland or Brother Kevin Lloyd or Brother L.O. Collins was to glance over your shoulder and see what and who you've been talking to. What a waste. See, I got the two, didn't I? Going once, going twice. I'm going to sell this service. I'm going to sell this service. I'm going to. I'm going to. And you know what's fixing to happen? Some preacher's boy, or some preacher's daughter, or somebody's friend, somebody is fixing to waste another service.
Why do you now tarry? Why do you hesitate? Thou knowest in your heart that I have asked for it. I have sought for it. You have been here before, on your knees. You have made me promises. I've come tonight to remind you that if you do not repent, and I will not give thee another space, thou shalt not have the privilege to hear my voice, neither shall you know my ways. But I open to thee tonight a door, And I say, come. The Spirit says, come. The people of God say, come. And we wait for your response, saith the Lord.
Wasn't it amazing how the Holy Ghost clicked off the music almost in silence across this congregation? You could almost have heard a feather float through the air and touch the floor. That's how quickly God can pull the lever. And if you're a backslider in here tonight, or you're a backslidden husband and wife, or you're a backslidden family with a husband that's out and a wife that's in, or vice versa, or you're a young man in here and you've been causing your mom and dad torture, terrible woes and worries just because you didn't know what your purpose in life was. This is what I'm asking you. When Brother Sutherland interpreted, he interpreted that you're hearing something tonight, and he interpreted that you're not going to get opportunities. So this is it. I got to go in once, right? Yeah, and I got to go in twice. Here we go. I'm fixing to sell this service, you, your future, your eternity. I'm fixing to sell it to the highest bidder. God's doing everything that he can to get you to be what he wants you to be. The devil's doing everything he can to get you to sit there with the attitude, ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. And I'm going to sell this service to the highest bidder. Sold. Boy, that's a troubling thing right there. To know that somebody's sitting in this room right here, and if they walk out of these doors and die and meet God tomorrow, tonight, after a while, the devil goes straight to a devil's hell because they didn't want to respond. If you're in here and you're on the edge, if you're in here and you're dallying with things that's got you worried, I want you to slip out of them seats for a few minutes and come around these altars. If you're in this room someplace and somebody dear and near to you is on that wayward road, in their stead, I want you to slip out of them seats. If some of the folks don't even understand your lifestyle, I want you to slip out of that seat. And I want us to build us an altar for a few minutes and then we're gone. I'm done. And I want us to call upon God tonight. And whatever you do, you honest, sincere young people in this room, whatever you do before you leave this room, you lean back and you say, God, I am going to trust you for the rest of my life to keep me from slipping. I'm going to let you enlarge my steps. So find your place. Come on, young folks. Find your place. Come on, Sunday school teachers. Find your place. Come on, mama that's worried about her boy that's in Afghanistan. Come on, dad who's worried about his wife who has walked away from him and in some kind of paths of unrighteousness, and you're trying to go it alone. I really guess some backsliders in this room could shake out that pew and come up here and seek the face of God. I just sold the service, not your opportunity. As long as the door is open, you can walk through it. As long as your heart's not hard, you can respond. As long as your conscience isn't seared, you can come to this altar, ask for forgiveness, and start working on a tabernacle, filling it with the Holy Ghost.
Put your life into his master plan.
I want you to grow up singing
For he has
I want you going to college, boy.
That nobody else
you two young men looking for the will of God. And
into the
I want you to live it. I want you to find it. I want you to do it.
Won't you put your life into the
LL College is good.